Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
I am your host, Tanya Communication Doctor, and the reason I do this show is because I want to provide a space for people to speak their authentic truth, coming from a heart space rather than a head space. Allow people to get into their space of consciousness, their space of confidence, and their space of connection. This, I think, promotes positive mental health, and this is why I do what I do. Hi, this is Real Stories, and I'm your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor, and today on my show I have, wait for it, Matthew Liam Gardner, who is an Aquarian Age leader. Welcome, Matthew. How are you doing?
Hey, Tanya. Doing really well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know what? I'm really excited to talk to you today because I'm just going to give my audience a little bit of an insight into how I first met you. And I think we're probably going back to last year, towards the end of last year. And I was invited to a group by Kelly Quinn, and just to basically talk about spirituality. And I must admit, I found it really refreshing to hear some of your story and to hear that you were kind of creating this group where everybody had a voice, where there was no one kind of taking the lead, where everybody's on the same kind of equal, and where there's respect for elders and respect for youngsters. And for me, it was very refreshing to hear that, because especially in the Western world, there's so much hierarchy and systems. And so it was just refreshing to kind of see that spirituality. So could you explain a little bit about this group that you have on Facebook called The Heart Village? Explain, just before we came on, you were talking about how you kind of came into this group and how you got a call in. So could you explain that story? Because I thought it was so rich, to my audience, please.
Yeah, so I was in Bali, and just like the rest of the world, COVID had hit. And everyone was in this state of, you know, what's happening now? Like, where is all of this going? And I was laying in a pool in Bali, looking up at the sky. And in Bali, they have this real strong kite flying culture. So, you know, I'm laying on my back looking up at the sky, and because COVID's happening, there's no shops really open, everything's really slow. So all the kids and all, like, the, you know, the adults in the community who are really into kites are flying their kites, and I'm just laying in the pool looking up at, like, literally dozens if not hundreds of kites just flying, sometimes up to like 2 miles in the sky, which is crazy to imagine. And these kites have like big long tails. And I was laying in the pool doing a really intense breath work session, which I don't recommend anyone do without like some kind of training. Breath work in a pool, it's not actually encouraged. But for the purposes of this particular moment in time, it was really magical and beautiful, just watching all of these kites just almost dance in the wind above me and just moving through the breath work sets. And I had this, as I kind of dropped deeper into the breath work, I had one of those, you know, peak life experience, is one of those moments where the veils drop and there's a, yeah, like an opening to divinity, an opening to source, an opening to God. And, you know, this has happened, there's kind of been a few key moments in my life where I've had direct instructions or direct messaging come through. And this is one of those moments. And yeah, it kind of gives me shivers just thinking about it. And the message that came through was, there is a global renaissance happening now, beginning to happen now. And the UK, in particular, Europe as well, the Northern Hemisphere, key parts of the Northern Hemisphere, were key in this global renaissance. And almost like the instant, you know, sometimes in these peak experiences, you don't get, it's not everything is words, something is just instant knowing. There's almost like instruction, but there's also instant knowing that comes with it. And it's part of the instant knowing that just landed with me in that moment was you know, I speak about the great renaissance, like a global renaissance, a time of emergent creativity, a time of industries being reinvigorated, a time of communities and what it means to be human being just flourishing and re-emerging in an even more beautiful way, a new cycle of our human story on Earth. And there was this instant knowing that that was what the Renaissance was, and that the Renaissance was, you know, we talk about us being in a time of great awakening, and we are. I'm a white Australian man from the suburbs of Brisbane in Australia. You know, like I used to, you know, as a kid, hang out at the local shopping center. There's no kind of generational education or spiritual teachings in my reality yet. I think I'm an example of this great awakening where people from the suburbs are listening, and where the connection, the space between us and divinity, the space between us and, like, maybe you could call it fundamental truth, the opening of self and the unity of all, it's just kind of dissolving, and the barriers are dissolving, the challenges are between us and that are dissolving, and so the great awakening is happening. And this renaissance that I heard about in that moment is a leg of the table of the great awakening. You know, it's not the only piece of it all, but it's one of the major legs that hold it all up. Brilliant. And so I heard the message and I came to the UK. and so that was the call.
Yeah.
How the group emerged is when I got this message, I just after it, actually, a month afterwards, I created a group that was essentially a call to the sacred elders, the established medicine people, the emerging sacred leaders of this region of the UK. And then I spent 150 days when I first landed here in at the end of June, just going around and meeting over 100 in the end.
Brilliant.
Over 100 in the end.
Wow.
And it meant that I got this, like, instantly I kind of felt the roots of the region. You know, I felt like the roots of the sacred elders and teachers of the region, over 100 of them. And my intention of meeting them was to look in their eyes, to feel who they were, and to listen. Mm. And to really receive another being who, you know, for someone to relate to themselves as an elder or a sacred elder or a medicine holder, for someone to relate to themselves in that way comes with it a depth of wisdom. There's a particular self-ownership that's required. You know, you have to call yourself an elder, even with your whatever your family's projections or perceptions are of you. You have to call yourself a medicine man or woman, even with the community projections. And to hold that, there's the pillar that's needed. And so that's the sort of, like, those people, that's a new form of leadership in the world, really, in a social community moment in time where these aren't particularly common ways of, you know, common names for ourselves: elders, sacred elders, medicine holders, wisdom holders. There's something within the beings that I really wanted to sit with and listen to, and I did. And that group then grew and evolved and became the heart of the village.
What's interesting, what you just said there, actually, because from an Indigenous perspective, that is just normal, isn't it? You know, from an Indigenous perspective, we're looking at the elders, we're looking at the medicine doctors, and within the spiritual community, that's important. But within the Western world, we have lost a lot of that. We're not lost a lot of that, because we've got stuff like colonialism. You know, you've got things like structures and forms. And in some ways, a lot of people have been very brainwashed in terms of how we connect with people. And there is this disconnection of not connecting with every human being, and always having, from what I could receive, an agenda. There's always an agenda. And I feel like what's really lovely is the Indigenous people know so much about the land. Mm-hmm. But it's not respected enough. You know, you've got the governments, you've got the media, everyone's making all these decisions. But it's actually, we can learn so much if we go to the Indigenous people and if we connect with source ourselves. So when I say source, just for people that don't know, I mean in connection with God or connection with the universe, whatever your belief system is. And what I loved about what you said, Matt, was the fact that you are just at that point in your life where you trust your gut, you do your breath work, you do your meditation, and you listen to that voice. Or you said when you meet the medicine doctors or the elders, you give them that time and you listen. If you listen from a head and a heart space, almost like listening from a head and a heart space, I say it's both, isn't it really? Mm-hmm. You know, then you're able to connect and really hear not just the words, but the energy of that person mm-hmm. as well. And I feel that's what's lost, but it's so important. And it's not easy to do in this Western world because there's so much chaos, there's so much toxicity around. So it sometimes takes that time out to just say, you know what, am I connecting with this person? Am I not connecting with this person? If I'm not connecting, why am I not? What's mm-hmm. going on here? Is this me? It's where the reflective work comes in. Is this all about, is this me and what I'm going through? Or am I able to really just listen, regardless to what that person is saying, and just tune into that energy? So I feel that's really, really, really mm-hmm. powerful. So for me, there's a bit of a gift there. And I want to ask you, when you came into the knowledge that you had this gift, was it something? I mean, most people are born with a gift, aren't we? If you're looking at it from an Indigenous perspective, but in this Western world, mm-hmm. we have society and we have hierarchy that pulls us in all different directions. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me for your own personal experience, when you realized that you had a gift to connect with Source?
Yeah. So my story is probably, My source connection story is probably a little different to other people, although I'm sure there's thousands who shared similar traits to me. When my parents split when I was little, I was the oldest son. And so I was only like 5-6 years old, right? But I had younger brothers. And I kind of like, you know, dad's gone now. Dad's not around. I took upon me the responsibility to be the best man that I could be, the best young man, the best, you know, example for my younger brothers. And that set me on a journey of really questioning everything. You know, nothing that has ever been given to me have I just taken as truth, even from like 6 years old. I was always wondering like what my truth was, not what fact I was given. And so what it meant that, you know, I developed a very, very strong opinions as a kid, you know, very strong opinions. And I didn't necessarily have an easy childhood or teenage years because, you know, most people would experience me as quite rebellious. But I had an innate sense of the distortions in the systems and the ways of relating that had emerged in human society. You know, you can't, as a kid, you're kind of closer to that moment of coming into the world and Source in many ways. And I happened to kind of hold on to that innocence for a lot longer because it felt to me as if that was in that innocence and in that, like, not being confined by the structures of reality. Could I find some truth that I could pass on to my brothers or be the embodied example of? I use the word embodied example. I wasn't using that as a 12-year-old. As a 12-year-old, it was just like, you know, I'm going to be a good person because, and actually do the things, even if it's not easy, because I want to be an example for my younger brothers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a family without like a masculine, a man chief, if that makes sense, in my family, some part of me soaked in a role of that kind, even as a young boy. And it was, you know, one of the greatest challenges and the sources of my deepest shadow in life is like that, but also is this beauty of questioning. And so I was a, you know, a young man, a teenager and in my early 20s, but not there to conform to society, but rather I've always been asking the question, how do I create society? How does truth, because I believe I've always believed that we're here to create or for us to make things better. You know, the most basic form of it is I believe there's a better way. That's like the most basic language. Mm-hmm. And so I know this question is about Source. But really for me, it began just in this inner knowing that there is something closer to truth than what we're currently living. And I have dedicated my life from like 6 years old to inquiring about what that is, and then doing my utmost to embody that imperfectly. And on that journey of embodying what feels like deeper truth than maybe what we've agreed upon as society or agreed upon as different cultures, you know, I've come across the... I used to love the Aboriginal Australian stories as a kid.
Oh, beautiful.
I used to love them. Mm. You know, like there was something about... I even had the... Because I loved them so much, I managed to find myself in all sorts of beautiful situations where I'd be around fires and Aboriginal elders would be there sharing the stories and I got to receive them, you know, like little white me got to, and it was so nice. But it meant so much. Mm. It meant so much. One of the stories that is... It's not like a... it is a sacred story, but it's not a held back story, it's a shared with all story, is the story of the dreaming, the dream time.
Mm.
And the story goes that there's actually multiple versions of it, as there is with all cultures.
The story of the dream time, I love it. The story of the dream time,
Mm. The version that I love the best, or the telling that I really sits with me, is the story of us, like the original forms of that which we are as souls, energy beings, expressions of God, of source, the original, you know, at the beginning of time and space, that we dreamed all this. We dream, in the Aboriginal say, we dream the rivers, we dream the mountains, we dream the trees, you know, and then we dreamed form into existence and here we are. And then I, you know, a long time ago, I used to think, oh, the dreaming was a time in the past. And then when I was 18 or 17, I came across this knowledge, this new version of the story that said that the dreaming is actually ongoing. And so all of a sudden my reality switched. All of a sudden the dreaming wasn't history. It was actually now. Now was history. I was part of the dreaming. I was one of the dreamers.
Mm.
And so I actually get to dream this reality. What's here to be dreamed? You know, and then so there was this, you know, there's no real kind of clear, there are moments of awakening where I dropped deeper into connection with source, but really this fundamental philosophy of I, as are you, as are my fellow brothers and sisters all around the world, we are dreaming this reality into existence right now, and that the stories that are told 1,000 years from now or 10,000 years from now or however long it is from now, there will be stories of this time told then.
Yeah.
Of those who are prepared to dream.
Totally.
And that to me was a call to action and a call to a life lived in ceremony and sacredness and preparedness to meet other humans face to face and heart to heart, truly, truly, actually. Not just like, oh yeah, no, we're heart-led leaders or we're heart-centered. No, actually, what does that actually mean? And then to totally. Live that and be that.
I love that. And for me, as I interpret that, is the dream is like the seed, I can say, you know, that seed that is beginning. And in order to make that seed come true, you have to water that seed so you can manifest that dream into reality. So, I mean, that's how I'd kind of break it down in terms of how you just told me about the visualizing. Because I spoke to a lovely lady this week, actually, who is a Kenyan lady, who's a spiritualist as well. And she was talking about, you know what, we have the power to bring on a storm. You know, that's what they do. So it's like the Messiah. This is not just what they do in fairy tales. We actually have the power to do that as human beings. So if we have the power to bring on a storm and to make the sunshine and to connect with source in that way, we can have the power energetically and positively to change the energy of this current world. If you have that belief system, but you've got to believe it. You've got to believe in your power and you've got to believe in your individual power to be able to manifest those dreams that you so desire. And I just feel that's just really, 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 really powerful from a kind of a spiritual perspective. So thank you for sharing that story with me. And it's interesting, you said little old white me. That's interesting what you just said there, because as I look at you, I see a white man, right? But I also see your energy, you know, your energy and your connection with source. And for me, that's far kind of deeper. But ancestrally, I love when people do the DNA test, because I don't think anyone's all white or all black these days, because there is so much mixture in there, isn't there? And you kind of got some, your features are quite interesting if I ask you that. So what is, I'm going to have to ask this question now openly. What is your ancestry? Because you're saying you're a white man, but what is your ancestry? Because I feel like there's something more in there.
Totally. There's totally something more in there. And when I do the DNA tests, I'm going to let you know. But I'll tell you what my, I don't have the scientific answer to this. But what I do, you know, I've done some revealings of self before where I just kind of speak into what my sense is of things. So I do know there's Polish. I do know that there's, you know, there's English and Irish and the, you know, the, like that, the Druid history of my family, et cetera. But when I look in the, when I look in the mirror and I feel myself, even from 13 years old, I used to, like, there was a story in my family that somewhere back in time, there was a, like an affair, you know, with, you know, there was an affair with like a, Aboriginal Australian.
No, I knew you were gonna, I thought there's something there. That's what I was picking up actually. Because sometimes, you know, when you do this spiritual work, you can pick up ancestry energy, ancestral energy. And then some people, that's what I'm saying, there's no one that's purely white or purely black. And then sometimes when you go back to the motherland, everyone will say, well, everyone's from Africa originally anyway. When you go to the motherland, that is the motherland of the earth, Africa. That is my belief system. So, you know, tribally and just different, like you say, you look at different cultures, there's all, there's so much there. So that was just interesting. You said that I had to ask that question. But then what's really interesting, their generation, they didn't always speak, did they? So sometimes there's probably lots of hidden secrets there. So,
well, that's what I was speaking into is this, is like a lot of the places that I've found myself, it's a real honor on reflection to have been there. There's a trust, there's a cultural trust that comes with having people of different backgrounds or stories come into the heart of the culture and experience. And I still haven't been all the way into the very heart, but there are people I would call aunties and there are people I would call uncles. And there are those who I've spent only a few minutes with in my life, but who have had a profound impact on me. That are, you know, have different skin colors to me and different cultures. And those moments of exchange feel like 10 years of learning sometimes, because just like when you, this is part of the magic of reverence and the magic of listening and the magic of presence to another being. Like when we open ourselves all the way and let them all the way in, like to soak in all that they are truly. And not just not from just from a an open lens of like what is here, not nothing like this is what I think, what do they think? Let's compare them. It's like what's here, like who are they? What's like this real kind of childlike wonder and intrigue, and we let them all the way in. Then we soak in the magic of that other being. You know, in like plant medicine realms, there's a thing called dietas, and that's where you don't kind of journey deep with a plant medicine. You actually just almost don't even need to consume the medicine. And this is some of the ancient South American traditions, Peruvian traditions as well. And they'll just literally like meditate with a plant in mind and the vibrations of a particular plant to take the lessons and learnings of that plant. And we can do that with each other. That's part of the magic of it. You know, so when we kind of, we sit with another being and take them in, we can truly come to like those parts of ourselves are awakened. You know, the DNA structures that are sleeping that other individual has activated. When yours vibrates, mine wakes up. The same as when my DNA pieces vibrate, yours wake up. And this is the role that we have for each other in this time of remembering and awakening.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that's such a lovely way to kind of interpret that as well in terms of that meditation, because meditation is so powerful in terms of being able to travel I feel sometimes we're able to travel to different countries through meditation and also through healing, as you just mentioned there, in terms of embodying that plant. That's such a lovely example and description in terms of, and that, well, that's what happens with crystals. You know, you have crystal healings, that energy, you feel that energy. And then in a couple of days, you're feeling a lot lighter and you're feeling a lot more connected. It's exactly the same thing, I suppose, in terms of embodying that energy. I love it. There's just so much to learn there. And so much to move forward with regards to that, those connections, to learnings of spirituality. I had a question there in terms of moving forward in terms of the future, because coming back to you calling yourself the Aquarian Age leader, because we are in this age of Aquarius now. And from a numerological perspective, we're in year five, and five represents freedom. But the dark side of that five is the prison that we're in. You know, the dark side of the five is that struggle for freedom. And in my predictions, people have asked me, kind of tell you, what do you see for this year? I say there's a bit of a struggle for freedom. And also there may be some disasters this year, huge disasters. Now, what is your kind of, you said you've come and you're to come to this country and you're here for a purpose. So what is your purpose this year? As we were, because we're fully in now, we're into harvest, we're harvesting time, you know, beautiful, the trees are starting to change color now, and I feel like things are beginning to grow. So what's your kind of intention that you want to put out to the world and vibrationally you want to share? So if you can share with me, please.
Thank you. That's such a, it's that that question just is such a beautiful space holder. I feel like that question gets to be the question that all people get to speak and be received when they answer, you know, like what a beautiful gift to others. Like, you know, with, as we come into spring, as, you know, as there's a new flourishing and a new growing and a harvesting that follows, then like, what are you planting and what's coming through? So I just, I'm grateful for the space. This next 12 months is going to be everything. It's, and when I say everything, I mean that the full scope of what it means to be human is here for us to be experienced. Everything, all the colors of the rainbow are here, including the ones you can't see, like black, you know, like, the, like or shadow, like shadow stuff, you know, it's like all the colors of the rainbow are here with us. And my deepest intention, my sacred intention for the next 6 to 12 months is that as seeds are planted in spring, so are new communities planted, seeded around the UK to begin with, and then maybe perhaps other regions of the world, who knows. But this is a real community philanthropic, like almost unspoken philanthropic intention. Not philanthropic like I shout it from the rooftops, but philanthropic like part of my life's work is to hold guardianship of the seeds that sprout into the communities of the future. And so my life force and my love and my time, you know, outside of the coaching I do, outside of the retreats that I deliver, all of my time is held in fostering the emergence of these new communities. And so over the next 2-3 months, we'll begin in Cardiff, and Cardiff will see the landing of a new community called, these communities are going to essentially a communities that don't have a hierarchy embedded in them, and they're anchored into the seasons, they're coming together with the seasons. So these monthly gatherings, and then every 3 months with the seasonal change, a big gathering, a beautiful gathering that's really meaningful. So we're kind of these communities anchoring into the seasons, and but not just one community that's individual on its own, although it will have its own culture, other communities that are connected to that original community, a web, a constellation of communities all over the UK that have their own cultures and flavors and histories and stories, but they're also united just through the fact that we share a common intention of purely coming together, asking what's here to emerge, and then watching as that flourishes. And I see Cardiff landing in the next 60 days. So there'll be a small community gathering in Cardiff in the next 60 days for the first time, the very first of these here in the UK. Mm. And we have a mini festival landing just after lockdown ends in July, early July, the first couple of days of July. There's a micro fest called the New Dreamings Gathering, which is happening in central Wales. And the currents might begin in Cardiff, and they might begin. I'm in Edinburgh right now. Just Cardiff happens to be the space for the first flowering. And then London and South London, and there's actually humans all over the UK that have just through these conversations are talking about being the first flag holders or the first guardians of these seeds of community. And so I really see, you know, there's lots of communities, lots of beautiful communities. And what I'm speaking about is something different to what has ever been in Western society. There's absolutely communities which have found some beautiful truths on their own and yet haven't managed to find themselves in a constellation or a web, just kind of staying in their own individual little, you know, space. And this is about the web, the humanity. It's very Aquarian of me, you know. Oh yes, humanity, the web of humanity. So that's my intention. I would like to think if you're in a major center in the UK, that there is a chance. It's not certain, it's not definite, but there is a maybe that in the next 12 months, you'll be able to drive or catch a bus for less than like 20 miles, and you'll be able to plug in and come and visit, be a part of a community gathering once a month that actually means something, where the humans gathering there are asking the question, like, what's here to emerge? And then perhaps emerging that, creating that together.
I know what that's absolutely beautiful, because that's what we just need more. I feel like community is where we get support, isn't it? And as you quite rightly said, in the Western world, sometimes people tend to, the support is not there as much as it's set up in some communities or some cultures. You know, they're set up that you have, you know, that people don't just raise children as parents. The community raises children, that sort of thing. So the whole idea of, I suppose in the Western world, a lot of people are living in this very lonely space, especially now during COVID. And some people do live on their own and they're not able to have that social interaction. So community right now is more important than it's ever been in terms of having a space where people feel that they are trusted and they can feel they can connect with other people, and just someone to hold that space with is just absolutely amazing. So that sounds really exciting. I love the idea of these communities being built all around the country and you go in and planting these seeds and this connection of the dreamers. And as I said, the dreamers to turn into the manifestation and then you're moving on. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. So I really wish you good luck with that. Don't wish you good luck. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Forget that about luck. We don't believe in luck.
You know what? You know, the worst case scenario of this beautiful intention is that one community comes together. And I mean, just to be clear, I've been here since July last year. We've already had 6 events with up to 150 people, where people have driven for over 400-500 miles, who people have flown from Europe to get in to be part of these seasonal gatherings, to be part of these communities. Like, this is like we've done, you know, we've done all sorts of beautiful stuff, some naughty stuff as well. Naughty being that, you know, we've had to really look, like I've had to look myself in the eye and be like, okay, this is the governmental rules right now. This is what humanity needs. Mm. What, like, where are we prepared to go? Like, what's the truth? Not their truth, but what's the truth, the fundamental truth of this moment in time, and what's needed right now, you know? And this is part of, you know, you can't have a renaissance without a revolution or an evolution or a new way of relating to ourselves. Like, who are the real leaders here? It has to be each of us individually. We have to be prepared to be like, you know, 5-6-year-old me being like, what is the truth within here? Not the truth that I'm told. What's the truth within? And then being prepared to live that, be that in the world, even when you know, mum has a different opinion, even though, even when the teachers are trying to tell you it's a certain way, that this is the best way of educating, well, it doesn't feel like it. You know, like we're in a time right now where we have to really listen to that which is within. And that means taking time with that which is within and being prepared to stand for that. So worst case scenario is that there is a one community, just a single beautiful community, a single seed that grows into a single flower that may make other flowers, or it may just be one flower that just emerges with spring and it kind of fades with the winter. And if that happens, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And I must say, Matt, there's so much positivity in your energy. As I'm listening to you, it's the energy, I'm feeling that vibration, I'm feeling that love and that optimism as well, to want to help others and support others and learn from others in return as well. That whole thing of holding space, but also being able to receive. I feel that's the power of community, really, to be able to do this, exactly that, hold space and receive at the same time, without the ego energy. Mm-hmm. It's like pushing that ego to the side, just receive, just connect. Yeah. And just listen. I love that. But on that note, I'm going to have to bring it to a close right now. But I really enjoyed talking to you, Matt. It was amazing. Thank you for all of your sharings. And thank you for sharing your love and that vibration with the world. And this podcast will go out in a while. And we're going to connect with more people. And hopefully we can build more communities just through this. So I just want to say thank you very much. Is there anything more that you want to say, just to leave, or any quote or any wise words?
Just I'll put some little sprinklings on the top, just to kind of close it really quickly.
I love that.
It is a question. It's a question for the listeners. It's a question for those who to take the time to sit with us in the future time that they listen to this. And the question is, you know, as we come into the number five is here with us, as is a turning of ages, and it is a monumental moment in a shift in humanity. Mm. I just want to ask the listeners to sit with and contemplate what you're prepared to die for.
Ooh.
And to have that as not the end, but the gateway to an exploration of how your days are meant to be spent, of the passion and inspiration and life force that is here for you to bring through. And I'm dedicated to living my answer to that every day of my life. And it becomes a frame for a life where we're all in. That's actually part of awakening, is to be all in, to be here, alive, awake, aware, our life force pouring into the space.
Oh, so amazing.
what are you prepared to die for? And use that as a gateway rather than the end, the destination.
And I'm going to process on that. I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm going to process on it. And that's quite nice. And it'd be great to hear what people feel with regards to that. So please just send your answers through. It'd be really interesting to hear. And come and join the community. Is it all right to say that, Matt?
Of course.
Come and join a community, which is the Heart Village on Facebook, which is absolutely a beautiful community with lots of beautiful people that want to just raise that vibration. So I'm going to say, from Tally the Communication Doctor and from Matt Liam Gardner, adios. I just want to say, what a beautiful energy. I really thoroughly enjoyed talking to Matt. He's got a great vision and he's making that vision happen. He's manifesting the vision. The Heart Village is a great space where you can hold space with loving energy. And as I said in the beginning of the podcast, there's no hierarchy there. Everybody's coming to it and giving whatever they need to give to that space. And it's very much a listening space and a space to receive as well as give. And I feel we need more space like that in life. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hearing some wisdom from the lovely Matt. And enjoy the rest of your day. Adios.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.